Go ahead and call the Mesa City Council meeting of Tuesday, September 4th, 2007 to order. We begin our meetings with an invocation, and tonight it'll be led by Pastor Stephen Kunkel from the Church of Christ of King Catholic Church, and that will be followed by a Pledge of Allegiance led by Jaden Bankhead from Troop 553, which is Stapley Junior High. Would you please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the pledge?
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the many blessings that you have given to each of us individually and for the blessings that you have given to the city of Mesa. We ask you to bless this council now and in the future. Help them to listen to the needs of our community and give them wisdom, courage, and foresight to make plans for our future. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Jaden, you want to come forward?
If you could join me in the pledge, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the next item would be the reading of the consent agenda.
Good evening. All citizens are encouraged and to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on new beer and wine store license for 7-Eleven, 2010 West Guadalupe Road. Item 3B, act on new restaurant license for Bar Teppo, New American Tapas, 1652 South Val Vista Drive. Item 4B has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 4C, act on contract for Northwest Water Reclamation Plant UV Disinfection Upgrade, $2,810,291. Item 5A, introduce ordinance for September 17th, amend Mesa City Code pertaining to Human Services Advisory Board. Item 5B, introduce ordinance for September 17th, annex land on Sossaman north of McDowell. Item 5C, introduce ordinance for September 17th, zoning case Z07-57, 8700 East Warner Road for Regional Employment Center. Item 5D, introduce ordinance for September 17th, zoning case Z07-85, 845 North Gilbert Road for professional office condo. Item 5E, introduce ordinance for September 17th, zoning case Z07-88, 5850 East Still Circle for a new student complex. Item 5F has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 6A, act on resolution to extinguish a drainage easement at 1940 North Rosemont Avenue. Item 6B, act on resolution to extinguish two public utility easements at 4827 East McKellips Road. Item 6C, act on resolution to extinguish a roadway easement at 4520 and 4534 East Fairfield Circle. Item 6D, act on resolution for cooperative planning services with the Mesa Unified School District. Item 6E, act on resolution to secure grant funds for restitution-eligible victims of crime. Item 6F, act on resolution to secure grant funds for assisting all crime victims. Item 6G, act on resolution to secure grant funds for assisting domestic violence victims of crime. Item 6H, act on resolution for construction and joint use of fiber optics communication network. Item 6I, act on resolution for the joint use of facilities in the event of major emergency. Item 6J, act on resolution for the submittal of 4 grant applications to the Gila River Indian Community. Item 7 has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 8A, act on ordinance and resolution to amend Mesa zoning code pertaining to special use permits. Item 8B, Act on Ordinance and Resolution to Adopt Guidelines for Office Uses in Level 1 Historic Structures. Item 9A, Act on Ordinance Annexation Case A07-16, Annex Land on Chrisman North of Brown. Item 9C, Act on Ordinance Zoning Case Z07-84, 2759 North Bell Vista Drive for a rezone. Item 10A, Act on Subdivision Plat, Gateway Airport Business Center, 7200 South 89th Place. Mayor and Council Members, these were the items on the consent agenda.
Okay. Let me check. Is Vice Mayor Walters, are you with us by telephone conference?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any requests to remove any items that were right on the consent agenda?
There are none, Mayor.
Okay. Any council discussion or want to remove any items? Somebody would like to move approval then on the consent agenda? I have a motion by Councilmember Griswold, seconded by Councilmember Summers for approval of the consent agenda as read. Would you please vote? Vice Mayor Walters, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
The vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. The first item that was not on the consent is on page 1, item 4B. And I'm sorry, 4A. No?
4A.
And this is one emergency response trailer for the fire department. This is fully grant funded. 2006 UASI Federal Homeland Security Grant Program. The Procurement Service Department recommends authorizing purchase from the Utility Sales Company of Arizona for $46,591.10. That includes the sales tax. I have a motion by Councilmember Summers for approval, seconded by Councilmember Jones. Discussion on the item? Would you please vote? Vice Mayor Walters, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
Okay, the vote is 6 ayes and 1 nay, with Councilmember Rawls voting nay. Was 5B removed? Was
4B
was removed. Okay. I thought maybe you had those in the wrong order. Okay, 4B is the purchase of one replacement electronic message center marquee sign for the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department, Mesa Convention Center. This is the Procurement Service Department recommends authorizing the purchase of the marquee under a contract with Young Electric Sign Company in the amount of $184,399.09. That includes the applicable sales taxes and the removal of the current sign and installation of the new sign. Okay, any discussion? All right, entertain a motion. Motion by Councilmember Whalen, seconded by Councilmember Summers for approval. Would you please vote? Vice Mayor Walters, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
Okay, the tabulation of the vote is 6 ayes and 1 nay, with Councilmember Rawls voting nay. Next item would be on page 4, item 5F. And this is the introduction and setting September 17th as the date of public hearing on the ordinances. And this is zoning case Z07-83, the 4225 East University Drive. This is located on the southwest corner of University Drive and Greenfield Road, 24.9 plus or minus acres. And this is a rezone from R4 to R4 PAD in site plan modification. And this request will allow for the conversion of apartments to townhomes for sale. This comes forward with a recommendation for approval, but there was some discussion at the last council meeting on some stipulations. What's the status of that?
Mayor and Council, we have, based on Council's discussion at your meeting last week, prepared a revised set of stipulations that are on your agenda this evening for introduction. We've had some late discussions with the applicant this afternoon. They had a little bit of concerning for some of the wording, and they were okay with a continuance of this for 2 weeks to allow them to continue to look at the wording and get back with staff. I don't see them here in the chambers this evening, So I think that's their indication that they are wanting to have this continued so we can keep working on the language a little bit.
Okay, what would that date be for the continuous?
17th is the next council agenda.
Would somebody like to make a motion to continue to September 17th? Councilmember Summers.
Looks like I'll end up, excuse me, making the second on that motion, but downstairs I had brought this up where it had said in 7 line B, in order to improve the aesthetics and development and where necessary for the health, safety, and welfare. I guess the question is, Debbie, that where necessary, where that's put in there, does removing that change the language any? It seems to me to be more style over substance. How does that change this stipulation at all?
If I understand you correctly, Councilmember Summers and Mayor, if we deleted those words, it would then read, in order to improve the aesthetics of the development and for the health, safety, and welfare of the residents, re-roof, repair carports. Is that what you're...
Right. Is there? Does that change the legal definition of... Does that change the meaning of that sentence any significantly?
No. However, I guess I can't speak for the applicants because I've never talked to them. I'm assuming it would... To them, it means something. I don't know what it does mean. So I think the advice would be to continue until we can find out from the developer exactly what their concerns are with this language. But it's up to council discretion.
Okay. Well, I've seconded the motion to continue for 2 weeks.
Okay. Have a motion by Councilmember Griswold, seconded by Councilmember Summers to continue for 2 weeks. And I think you're referring to what? 7B is the one that is somewhat troubling on the language?
Yeah. Right? 7B is where they're having problems with where necessary, but I don't see how that is anything but stylistic, and our city attorney agrees, but if they want a two-week continuance to talk about it.
Okay, so there's a request for a continuance to the 17th. Any discussion by council? Okay, would you please vote? Councilmember Walters, how do you vote?
Aye.
Okay, the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes for the continuance. Next item is on page 6, item number 7, and this is approving the expenditure of local transportation assistance funds, referred to as LTAF 2, for fiscal year 07-08 in the amount of $732,010 to be utilized for transit operations and maintenance. Right. And I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Councilmember Summers. Any discussion? All right, would you please vote? Vice Mayor Walters, how do you
vote? Aye.
All right, the tabulation is 6 ayes and 1 nay, with Councilmember Rawls voting nay. The next item is on page 7, item 9B, and this is zoning case Z07-43. It's in District 6. It's the 6859 East Pecos Road location. It's located south and east of Haas Road and Pecos Road. It's 10.59 acres. It is a rezone from AG to OSPAD for the southern 110 feet of the site and M1 PAD for the remainder of the site. And it also includes a site plan review. This request will allow for the development of an office warehouse development. There is a legal protest filed, so a three-quarter vote is required, and this has been continued from the August 27, 2007 council meeting. Comes forward with a recommendation from P to Z for approval on a vote of 4-2-1, with two members voting nay and Carter abstaining. So what we typically do, and I know we've heard this one before, but we do have a little process that we go through here as far as the order. Grab that. So first the applicant has an opportunity, and followed by the public, and then staff will see if they've changed a recommendation or have one this evening, and then finally the city council members.
Okay, so we don't need Bill to sign anything? Thanks, Bill. Thank
you. He's responsible.
Yeah, I'm responsible. Better have done a good job. Well, I'm not paying that bill.
Mayor, council members, for your record, my name is Reese Anderson. Our address is 1930 East Brown, number 101 here in Mesa. It's my distinct pleasure to be with you this evening. Also with me is the property owner, Mr. Jeff Philippi, for Dove Business Communities. You know, Mayor, members of the council, I first met many of you years ago when I was working at a different law firm at the time. I was representing Williams Gateway Airport Authority, if you recall. And my partner, Ralph Pugh, was opposite us at the time, if you recall, in Paloma States, where they wanted to put some homes underneath the flight path for Williams Gateway Airport. Us representing the Airport Authority worked with you and your staff to start to remove all the R-143 property underneath the flight path in the Williams Gateway area. Part of that process, as it worked its way around the airport, ended up down here to the south where this project is located. And many of you will recall case Z-0401, which is a very contested case by a lot of the neighbors that are here this evening. And at the time, the council was, or at least staff was proposing to rezone a lot of that property to the east of the Queens Park neighborhood from R-143 to M-1. And that was fought over and hotly contested by the neighbors. At the end of the day, if you recall, that issue was solved by placing a strip of PEP in there, 200 feet PEP. Well, Mayor, your leadership, the council's leadership, spent a lot of time holding the ground firm on not letting any other residential in that area, based on the hopes and dreams that industrial would come, that the airport would grow. And Mayor, I'm proud to say that here it comes. Here comes all the things we've been waiting for. Here comes all the dreams that we've placed in the airport. We see it happening, good reports in the papers every day. So it's with that in mind and that kind of big picture idea that we're before you this evening. Part of that dream that we all hoped would come is now here on the horizon. I did have a longer presentation I wanted to talk to you about, but given what I'll say later, I'm just going to see if I can shorten it to save a little bit of time. Let me just scan forward on a couple of these slides, if I can get it to come up. What you see on the screen before you is just the proposed site plan right now. And the reason I want to walk you through that real quick is just so that you understand where we're at. We're just south of Pecos Road, just north of the Queens Park neighborhood. Last week you saw case Z0715 and its companion design review board case. This project's immediately to the west of what you saw last week. As you can see from this, our main entrance is off of Pecos Road. On the south, we border on Woodland Avenue. We have no vehicular penetration onto Woodland Avenue. You see that the front part is for offices. The rear is kind of a flex office warehouse space. And we'll talk more about the proposed uses later on. What we've got right now and the big focus of our issues with the neighborhood to the south is that we've got a screen wall proposed at 50 feet and a building at 110. Now, anytime I talk about distances, if you could all just keep in mind with me that there's a road south of us. And it's a local road, but it's a 60-foot right-of-way. So anytime I talk about a distance of 50 feet to a screen wall, I'm really talking about 110 feet from a neighbor's property line to the screen wall. Or if, in my case, we talk about 110-foot building setback, it's really 170 feet. And if I measure from their front door to our front door, it's a 200-foot separation. So just keep those in mind as we're talking about some of the distances this evening. I also want to talk about what the zoning code says. This property is zoned ag today. It's a through lot. Now, if for those of you who don't recall, through lot has frontage on two streets. Because we have frontage on Woodland, again, through lot, so we have two front yard setbacks. Again, zoned ag. By right, my client could put up a 6-foot wall today, right at the 30-foot mark. Without a permit. Now, ag lets us go 30 feet high. So by simply pulling a permit, he could build a wall at the 30-foot mark, 30 feet tall. So when we start talking about what the neighborhood's rights are versus what my client's property rights are, please keep in mind that issue. Now let me move on to what we're proposing to rezone. The southern 110 feet is OS. The building and landscape setback begin because we're next to that road, and the code already takes into account the separation of the road. It says that the building and landscape setback should be 20 feet. So again, what my client's property rights under that zoning district would be, they could build a wall or a building at 20 feet. That's not what we're proposing. Part of the neighborhood's arguments is that there should be OS. In this case, again, we're proposing OS, not M1, next to them. That OS should not exist next to R143. That's simply not the case. And where we do believe that there could be some conflict, then we put in place the appropriate transitions and buffers. And in this case, again, a lot of the focus has been on this screen wall. But most of the time, I find myself up here talking to you about building separation. And in building separation, again, let me remind us, we're at 110 feet from property line, or 5.5 times greater than what would normally be required by the zoning code. So when we talk about property rights, just please keep that in mind as we go through this project tonight. Following up on my comments about whether or not OS is appropriate here next to this neighborhood, I'll remind us all that just down the hill from the mayor's house is a large area of PEP. And that was approved just months ago with 80,000 square foot buildings, 2 stories tall, with a 75 foot building setback. In this case, I'm 27 feet tall, single story, and 110 foot building setback. So again, just some comparisons as we look about what's out there, what's going on, and what would be appropriate. Again, focusing a little bit on what a compromise is, as we've tried to work through these issues, we've had multiple meetings. We've appreciated the assistance of Councilmember Summers in working through some of these issues. But I think of a compromise as both sides giving a little bit. Let me just give you my simple redheaded stepchild math here. I've got a zoning code that tells me that I'm okay at 20 feet. I've got a neighborhood group that tells me that they don't want anything closer than 200. Well, half of that distance, if we split it, is 110. And that's where my building is. I think that's a fair compromise. Again, my screen wall, I've placed at 50. More than twice what is normally required. We make no bones about the fact that we've made several offers of compromise to these neighbors. But as many of you know, in the world of litigation, when two parties are opposing each other, offers of compromise are made back and forth. But those offers of compromise or settlement can't be used as evidence that you did something wrong or that one side has more merit than the other. And in this instance, my client feels a little bit like every time we make an offer of compromise, it then becomes the new standard, or it becomes what we're held to. So every time that we say, oh, we're willing to go to 80 feet, we do that in the spirit of compromise. We're not doing it because we feel that's what is necessary. I hope I made that clear. But nevertheless, I want to talk about what we've committed to do. The neighbors have asked for continuity between these walls. Here's what we're willing to do. Here's our promise to you. Here's our promise to the neighbors. We're willing to match the wall to the exact height as our neighbors to the east. I guess, again, to set the stage, Z0715 that you saw last week. Again, we'll match the wall height. We'll match the colors. We'll match the texture. We'll match the materials. We'll put in the same trees, the same shrubs, the same grass, same granite. We will make it look exactly the same. I've been asked about, well, how can these walls transition smoothly together? Here's what we're proposing to do is to put a radius corner on both sides of our wall. So if I could just draw in the air for you, picture the southern wall. We would then put 20-foot radiuses on each of those walls. Well, luckily for me, I also represented Z0715, which is the case to the west. So I called Mr. Marsh today, and he gave me his promise that he's willing to put a radius on his wall, too, so that we could have, as Mr. Marsh's wall came over, it would radius, come down, and then radius back over again. So with that, council members, that's what we're willing to do. We're willing to put that on the record. We will live up to it. Design Review Board and your staff would enforce that against us as we proceeded through the DR process. Now, I understand there's some concern about whether or not a screen wall at 50 and a building is at 110 is appropriate. So, Mayor, members of the council, We would ask for your direction. If you feel so inclined, we're willing to redesign this project to move the screen wall to 80 and move our building back to 140. And we would like, if you're so inclined and that's your prerogative, please give us your direction on that this evening. Mayor, members of the council, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, questions at this point? Scott.
Let me get this straight. You'll go back to 80?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What would that require of the city? You'd have to do a site plan?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers.
You can come back in how many weeks?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, we would need to see a new site plan that incorporates these changes. If the applicant is ready to turn them around quickly, if we had them back in our office by noon next Monday, we could have this on your agenda again 2 weeks from tonight.
Okay. This is Mayor and Council. I met with both sides here a couple times over this past week and over the weekend, and I've been on the phone most of the day with you, and also talked to some of the members of the neighborhood. I've tried to find some common ground in what will work here, and unfortunately, somewhere along the line, I ran out of my mojo. Wasn't able to find a way to find that middle ground to make it work. So in this discussion, what the neighborhood was wanting is some continuity between the plan that was approved to the east and this site plan. And what we have currently is a 119-foot setback to the east and a 50-foot setback in this existing plan. At the end of the day, I think, and there are other avenues that the neighborhood has open to them, and they've expressed an interest in pursuing those. My concern is if that fails on their behalf, and this is ultimately approved, well, what we get is 50 feet and 119 feet with sharp corners and potentially something that just isn't going to work. All indications seem, at least talking to our legal folks, fairly favorable to the developer in that what is in the zoning is a 20-foot setback from all of the R zonings, including R143 and R90. And I also still don't like the idea of the 50 versus 119 feet. While I know that's not going to be the agreement that the neighborhood would like, I would prefer that if in the end this isn't going to work, that at least we have the 80 feet with the agreement that you're willing to bring forward, which is the southern buffered area described with the surface retention, that the aesthetics are work together, that you work to combine those so that it looks the same, that the landscaping is very much the same between the two, the grass and trees, whatever it was we agreed to last week. And everything that is in the letter from, I believe this is your letter. Is that your letter?
That letter you're referring to is from Jeff Phillippe, who's here in the audience, to Liddell Call.
Jeff, that's your letter? To Mr. Liddell, 1, 2, 3, 4. There are 6 points in here, which basically talk about the aesthetics and the 80 foot. I would be much more comfortable if that is what passed council. You could work with the neighborhood. I encourage you still to work with the neighborhood. They have some concerns over if they agree to anything further, that their legal rights down the road would be quashed. I don't believe that's the case, and especially talking to our city attorney, I think you need to have those conversations still, but I think the bare minimum for me would be that 80 feet, and if you are agreeable to do that, that's what I would like to see, if you would remove the case and bring those back.
Okay, this is, I have several requests to speak to, but any other questions of the applicant? Councilmember Jones.
All right, Reese, just clarifying then, as it stands right now, where you have the setback 119 and the 50, then you're going to, without any change, compromise change, it would be a straight 70-foot offset that would look pretty doggone awful. right as it stands right now, before the offer to go to 80 feet. Is that correct?
Well, the litigator in me wants to object to the form of the question, but I won't.
I just cut to the chase, yeah. Reese. Come on.
Mayor Hawk, Councilmember Jones, as it sits today, yes, on the eastern boundary between Mr. Phillippe's project and then Alan Marsh and Chris Brown's project, you would have a wall that transitions from 50 feet north of the property line back up to 119, I call it 120 for simplicity.
Roughly 70 feet.
Roughly 70 feet. That's the answer. Could I make one comment?
Go ahead.
I've searched the code long and hard. I just don't see where the requirement that walls line up is there. And so I would ask you to consider yourselves here. Please, why is Z0715 the standard? That was an offer of compromise, again, made by Mr. Marsh and Mr. Brown. They're two different projects. They were bought for different amounts. They have different types of business operations. So even though there's a wall there that separates the two, I can't find where the zoning code tells my clients that they have to line them up. But that's my comment.
But it's in the spirit of trying to work a compromise, and which you are trying to do, to where if you go to 80 feet, which shortens that down to a 40-foot, if you have a curve on both properties where they line up better and more continuity, then we're getting closer to what is going to be palatable, which, you know, you're going to have people positioned that aren't going to want it at all, period. But in the interest of trying to compromise, that's probably the best thing we could do.
I would say that my clients here have been over backwards to try and compromise, and I would hope that each of you would take their further offer to move the screen wall to 80 and the building to 140 as more evidence of that intent.
So a 40-foot curved east as opposed to a 70-foot straight 90 angle.
Well, yes, compared to what you see today.
Right.
And the way I kind of see it, again, use my finger just to draw in the air here, is you'd have the Marsh project come over, do a 20-foot radius, which would immediately bend and go back to a 20-foot radius. Now, if someone came to me from the neighborhood and said, we've talked collectively amongst ourselves and we'd prefer to see 45s in there, I can make it happen. But for now, we thought the curves would be a nice, soft transition.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Tom? Reese, before you go away, I guess I need to understand, because I'm prepared to support the project. It is, you've currently presented it, but you're basically telling me, I'll sell this car to you for $5,000, but I'll take $4,000. And that's, it's a hell of a way to negotiate.
Yeah, Councilmember Rawls, your assessment of the situation is correct. I would just ask you to remember that I'm facing a three-quarter vote.
No, and I understand why you're doing it, and I'm not opposed to you doing it. I just think I'm not sure what you're asking us for, because we'd almost be an idiot to pay $5,000 for the car when you told me you're going to take $4,000 for the car. So I'm not quite sure I understand what you want. I understand the spirit of it. I understand the result of it. But I don't understand what you're asking, why you're asking me this. If you're willing to make, if you want an up and down vote on the 50 feet, tell us you want an up and down vote on the 50 feet. If you want us to continue it for 2 weeks so that you can go to 80 feet, tell us that. I support what you're trying to do, but I'm confused.
I apologize for the confusion. To make it very simple, we're asking you to continue this case for 2 weeks. Let us bring it back and show you one at 80 feet. Along with that request is to give us indication on whether or not you think that is the sufficient distance.
Then if that's what you're looking for me, it is.
Thank you, sir.
If 50 was, 80 is.
Thank you, sir.
All right, let's go ahead and have some additional speakers that have requested to speak this evening. Kent McClure, followed by Mark Underwood, and then Roseanne Casterton. And again, you have 3 minutes. Appreciate your comments.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Councilman. My name is Kent McClure. I live at 8609 East Woodland Avenue in Mesa. One of the newcomers to the neighborhood. I've heard many, many references to enforcement of the code, and yet I understand that the code for R-143 clearly states that there shall be no, that industrial and commercial shall not encroach upon R-143. And yet this seems to just be completely ignored by the planning and zoning and so far what I've heard here today. I would like, for the record, someone from the council to please explain to us as neighbors why our property rights are being completely ignored over the rights of one property owner who bought it as ag and now wants to make it M1 with a little OS. And it just seems like that we're just being completely ignored on this issue. Yeah, we're willing to compromise, and we have a track record of compromise with all the previous projects. So it's not a case of whether we are willing to compromise, but I'd yet to understand why 143 is being encroached upon by industrial and commercial when it clearly states, the zoning code states, that it shall not, not shouldn't, but shall not be encroached upon. I yield the rest of my time to an answer, or if you want to...
Okay, I can probably even cheat you an answer. We're required by state law when we do annexations to give comparable zoning. It may or may not fit within our development area and our master plan, but that's been what we've been required to do as we've annexed. Now, if it doesn't fit within our master plan, then usually there's a rezoning application to bring it into compliance, and that's what we're doing here with the area around Williams Gateway. Most of it is industrially zoned in our master plan, and that's why we look at it as industrial land, or I do in particular. All right. Scott?
I need to get with you later. Where I have paused, and I showed a few people this, and obviously I haven't given you a form. In one of the chapters, and we're trying to look for it, there's a setback measurement. It's a table. It shows what the setbacks are from all the adjoining uses. And when it says for M1, and I believe M2, but at least for M1 use, the setback from all residential zoning, which includes R-143, is 20 feet. I need to show that to you, and that's why I'm trying to work with an agreement here. I know it's uncomfortable, but I need to show you where that is and what the argument that Reese is trying to make. But I'll get that to you as soon as I can.
And just real quick for the record, there are some of us, of which I'm part, are actively trying to get some funding together to where, and they've told us they will agree to this. I don't know if it's still on the table or not. But we would like to buy some other land and let them take that over and put this back to agricultural. Okay, so anyway, we're actively working on that. As late as this afternoon, I was told that it's on Friday going before the bank. We're told that we're in there, but anyway, just wanted that on the record. Thank you.
Right. Okay, Mark Underwood. Oh, sorry, Tom.
I have a question of John, if I can, to try to clarify this point.
Go ahead.
As I understand, this project is zoning it from ag to OS pad and a bunch of other stuff. Is there any R-143 that is having industrial zoning imposed on what was previously R-143?
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, no. He's referring to the property across the street that's currently zoned R-143.
Right. And so there is no encroachment of industrial onto R-143.
That's correct.
Thank you.
I think you have a different definition of encroachment. Anything within a quarter mile is encroachment versus it's on
I understand a different definition.
All right. Yes, Mr. Mark.
Good evening. My name is Mark Underwood. I live at 8625 East Woodland Avenue in the Queens Park subdivision, and I live just directly south of the proposed development here. It is with growing suspicion in the process of city government that I am once again standing in front of the council this evening. The ongoing process that our Queens Park development has been forced with to fend off the encroachment of illegal development next to our homes has been both time-consuming, perplexing, and frustrating all at the same time. As a citizen, you want to believe that you're being best served by a government of the people for the people, not a government just for the development people. The landowner has the vested right to make a living off the land they own, but not if the development of such land circumvents laws that were established to protect homeowners and the subsequent property values of their home. As a community, we have worked long hours to establish a desirable buffer between the already approved developments in our subdivision. Why does the city not comprehend that Queens Park subdivision will not settle for a meager buffer proposed by the Dove project when we have worked so hard and have been extended the courtesy by the Marsh Group and the Call developments that will meet the needs of not only our subdivision but their developments as well? Lastly, it is with a bitter resentment that I was allowed no more than 3 minutes to speak before the Planning and Zoning Board in late June. Wait 2 hours to speak, eat a fine meal in downtown Mesa, yep, just west of here, pass back by the City Council building on my way home only to see three board members, a lawyer representing the Dove Project, and a client or clients having a nice conversation on the steps outside this building. Kind of made my 3 minutes look pretty short and meaningless. Thanks.
Roseanne Kesterton, and then Roger Trinko.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. My name is Roseanne Kesterton, 8745 East Waterford Circle. And I was, I had stuff prepared, but a lot of it's been covered. And from what I've heard, you'll have to excuse me. Hopefully I don't ramble, but along with John, who came up and didn't understand the zoning ordinances that says that per the zoning ordinance that this is not allowed up against residential. And then to hear the comments on that, I'm still a little confused. Why do we have zoning ordinances that state that something's not allowed next to something and have a graduation if there's really no meaning behind it? If really they can put, you know, I've been hearing all night they can build 20 feet from us because of the ordinances, but the way I read it, it would be 20 feet if you're building up against something compatible, not incompatible. If a neighbor was going to build across the street, they would have to have a setback of 30 feet. And with all of the different things that Mr. Anderson said, a lot of stuff is a lot of I would call half-truths. And I realize he's supporting his case, but when you take in consideration of the distances, if you took my house and my neighbor's house, I had to have a setback of over 30 feet. He had to have a setback of 30 feet. If you put the street in between it, we're talking 95 feet. So, I mean, you can sit and confuse people and talk distances all you want, but bottom line is they're setting their wall 50 feet back, and they're giving us an OS. And I haven't gotten the warm and fuzzies. We really have tried to work with the city. We've tried to work with these developers, but I've really had a hard time. I went to the very first meeting, and we said we wanted OS because we didn't want the roll-up doors and the kind of businesses that would come in. If you want to build closer, build something a little bit milder. They couldn't do that. They wanted roll-up doors. They suggested PEP. They said, one of the developers point-blank asked me at that meeting, if we give you OS, will you leave us alone, basically? And I said, well, you know, I think we'd take a look at it. We never had another meeting. It came upon the board as an OS parking lot. No building of OS to accommodate an OS parking lot. I felt tricked. I felt betrayed. It's very hard to work and really trust somebody that does those kind of things. We've been told, oh, we'll give you 100 feet if you sign a paper that they say isn't going to take anything away from us. But when you can read between the lines of not allowed against residential, what other things? I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable signing anything. But now they're not even allowing 100 because we won't sign anything. They come in with 50, and now they're willing to actually change that and go to 80. And it's confusing. It's been confusing for us, and we are really trying. But 50 feet, even 80 feet, what's going to happen when you go from 119 or 120? You know, I know we're somewhere in between those lines, and we curve it. Even if we go to 80, then what happens with the next lot? Is it going to go up to 150 and keep curving? Then we go around the side, and we're right close. How are we going to continue? When are we going to set a precedence? When are we going to have something that views nice? They put these pictures of these nice buildings looking from inside their wall. They don't show what it's going to look like from outside the wall with the curve and the landscaping and seeing the tops of their buildings. And not only that, they're going M1, not PEP. Now we have outside storage. He's comparing the mayors, and I don't know the significance of that, but PEP, if I'm not mistaken, you can't have outside storage. M1, you can. We're trying to get a distance to protect us. If you want to be harsher, move back further. If you want to give us some protection, then have your allowances. I don't understand. So anyway, in the time that I have left, if you could please just, I don't understand the zoning ordinances. I mean, why do we have them if you can't, you have to foam on one end but not the other? I don't understand that.
Thanks for your comments. Roger Tinko and Craig Merkley. Next.
Good evening. My name is Roger Trinko. I live at 8626 East Waterford Circle in the illogical neighborhood of Queens Park, Mesa. I just decided to trash what I had written down to talk about. Following up on Ms. Casterton's comments about why there seems to be a preference towards development as opposed to a preference towards precedent and establishing a or to follow through on what has been zoning ordinances for years. It appears to me that when zoning was created or the authority was created, it was for the protection of people and the protection of their property. And yet I'm seeing it being used as a bargaining chip. Mr. Mayor, you made the comment when we listened to the first case on the east side of our neighborhood. After everybody spoke, you said, well, everybody's played by the rules. And I went away wondering exactly what that meant. After having thought about it for a long time, it occurred to me that there had probably been some agreement with the property owners east of our neighborhood, which was zoned R143, that if they refrained from development, that down the road it was going to be zoned industrial. And I'm not aware of any such rule being a part of the zoning process. I don't think that's an appropriate thing to do. And so we now are, as neighbors, we're seeing a three-way deal here where the city is staking out its own position pro-development for the purpose of, no doubt, raising revenue from taxation. And so you have become your own special interest. But you're a special interest with police power, you're a special interest with taxation authority, you're a special interest with zoning authority. Now, how do we as neighbors stand up to such a thing as that? We look to you to stand up and enforce what is law and to stand up for what is representative of the people. That's what representative government means. It doesn't mean that you develop your own agenda and you proceed down your own path, because if you trash one person's property rights and hide behind this smoke screen of, well, we're doing this for the greater good, there is no greater good. When one person is harmed, one person, everyone else is at risk. That's not freedom. That's not what representative government is supposed to be. Thank you.
Craig Merkley, followed by Colleen White.
Mayor, Councilman, I appreciate this time that you've given me at this time. My name is Craig Merkley. I reside at 8559 East Woodland Avenue in Mesa, Arizona. I'm proud to be a Mesa, a resident of Mesa. Lived here all my life. I'm a native. My mom's a native. We've been here for a lot of generations. This project is approximately two houses down from my house. I'm wondering, with this setback of 50 feet or even 80 feet, compared to the 119 feet, what will it be in front of my house? If you're giving in that much there, will this next one be right at the road? Can they have a Home Depot, the back of a Home Depot sitting right in front of my house? That's what I'm wondering. Because it seems like every place, as we go around the corner and down the street, it's getting worse and worse as it goes. I just would really ask you to think, would you want this out your front door? Now, I'm in construction. If this was out my back door, my acre lot, and it started there, I wouldn't be here complaining. I wouldn't care because it's out my back door. I expect things like that. My neighbor has a good-sized barn in his backyard. It doesn't bother me. But out my front door, that's what I have to come out and see every day. That I don't expect to be there. Mr. Anderson has tried to razzle-dazzle you with numbers that aren't true. He is coming up from our property line, trying to make you think it's from his property line. He is trying to confuse with all these different numbers. This setback with this long fence will just be a hiding place for criminals and people that want to steal from both them and from us in the neighborhood. The Boys Ranch is right behind us. A lot of the boys that take off from there run through our neighborhood and usually keep going. Well, this will be a great wall for them to hide behind. Somebody goes walking through there at night or in the evening or something, it could be a potential hazard for one of us in the neighborhood. They want OS right up there. That would be great. I wish this project could be turned around. I wouldn't be here. I know it can't. I know logistically they can't have the OS in the back and the warehouses in the front. That would be the perfect solution. What I'm saying is, if they're going to have zone at OS, make them put some office buildings back there, though, and then their warehouse. That would be much better. That would be a nice, softer buffer zoning and look much more aesthetic. I just don't think this is a project that you would want out your front door. I understand that, Mayor, you have something, but that's out your back door. Not something you have to, you know, as you entertain people and bring them in, you don't have to show them that. They don't have to see it. You can have a room to grow some trees and block it out yourself if you want to. That's what I wish we could do. This is not something I like, and I really hope you'd see our side. Thank you.
Colleen White, and then Liddell Call.
Hi, my name is Colleen White. I live at 8561 East Waterford Circle. I'm just behind Woodland. Just like to remind you that we are here because we have a beautiful neighborhood. We're on 1 1/4 acre lots. These are lovely, lovely custom homes that face Woodland Avenue. We just ask that you please think of this when we talk about a fence going along in front of these properties that's going to jog back and forth and provide hidey holes for a whole bunch of dirt and God knows what else. I often walk down that street or very early in the morning or late at night with my dogs, and I'll be perfectly honest, if there's a bunch of hidey holes in that fence, I'm not going to want to walk down that street. I'm going to be creeping down there, peeking around the corner, see what the crap's in there. And I just think that, first of all, is what we're asking for. Let's just think about something consistent, pleasingly aesthetic down across the front of all those homes, so when they walk out their front door, they see something pretty, aesthetically pleasing. And I am also concerned, as many of them have mentioned, if we accept this proposal from this developer, what's going to keep the next developer from scooting in another 15 feet? And by the time they get to the west end of Woodland, they're going to be sitting in their driveway. We just can't let these people keep munching in as they move down Woodland Avenue and encroach on us and just keep destroying the property values of these lovely homes across the street down Woodland Avenue. So, you know, we're just looking for something to protect that and keep our neighborhood looking as nice as it does and ensure us that as these developers come in, they, each one, will have a precedent set for them that leaves the people on Woodland Avenue with some protection for their residential homes. Again, we feel that we've been really cooperative. We've tried to attend any meetings we were aware of. Our representatives have just jumped through their butts to try to work with the developers. And we kind of get told one thing and then something else happened. Or we could say, well, they didn't attend the meetings, but we weren't told about the meetings. So we're feeling a little bit, like people are trying to sneak around behind us and do things, and we don't like that. We're not comfortable with that, so we're all kind of looking at each other going, what are they trying to pull on us now? So I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Liddell Call and Steve Vagan.
Mr. Mayor and Council, my name is Liddell Call. I live at 8660 East Waterford Circle, Queens Park. I'm a religious person, and I've spent time reading scripture trying to understand it. Not long ago, I ran across a verse that stood out to me. It said, the Spirit of God is freedom. That is what this really comes down to. who has the freedom or the right to impose their will upon another. I'm in favor of development. That is what I do for a living. I believe that they have the right to do whatever they want to do with the property as long as it doesn't harm anyone else. If you harm someone else, you have taken their freedom. One of the council members emailed us back to let us know that as long as the public safety and the safety of the environment are not at risk, they are in favor of development. I agree. But the public safety and the environment of the people here are at stake. Maybe not from smoke or toxic chemicals, etc., but the safety of people living across the street is in danger. Their futures, their retirements, the equity they share in their homes is the safety of their economic future. With the losses that will occur by this project as it is, will determine whether families in this neighborhood can put their children into college or help their families progress. The equities in their home is what assures that safety. We have been told that the general plan is a guideline. We've also been told that is a statute that must be followed. Which is it? We've also been told that the people of Mesa voted for the general plan, but most of them have no idea what it is or what it implies. You can't convince me that the will of the people is to put industrial across the street from residential. We've been told that zoning codes are guidelines, but in the public publications, it says it's a law. So what does the zoning code and the general plan really mean? Who knows? I don't get it. They contradict. They get thrown back and forth to suit the purposes of whoever is using them. In all the meetings that we've come to, the general plan gets changed by the vote and recommendation of the council or whoever sets it. And the zoning code is used in the same fashion. So really, it is you, the council, that decides what is and what isn't. I'm going to get brave here, okay? King George, by rule of law, did what he wanted to the 13 colonies. But that doesn't make it right. The South left the Union over the right of property ownership, but that didn't make slavery right either. Smoking is hazardous to the public health and well-being. Members of this council have voted to make the public smoking prohibited. You set the example, and the state followed. These issues are different, but the principle is the same, the principle of freedom. No one in society has the right to harm anyone else, physically, mentally, or materially. By approving this project, you will be telling all the citizens of Mesa that they are in danger of losing the one thing that they have worked their whole lives for, their homes, the great American dream, the right to property ownership with all of its protections in place.
Need you to wrap it up with that.
It has been said that liberty is living by just and true laws. We are asking you to uphold our liberty and to ensure our freedom. Thank you.
Steve? And then Doug Chapman?
My name is Steve Vaughn. I live at 8744 East Waterford Circle in Mesa. I've lived in the Queens Park subdivision for about 15 years. One of the concerns I have about this process is, as important as the setback and the buffering is, there are a lot of issues that aren't being addressed or don't seem to be as of an importance here. And one being the size of these buildings. These buildings are huge. They're warehouses. They're set up for semi-tractor trailer use. Right now, the way it was proposed, 50 feet setback, that's approximately from where the mayor sits to the back of this room. On the other side of that wall is a driveway where a semi-tractor trailer rig could sit and idle 24 hours a day. Okay? We're concerned about the uses of those buildings. There's been nothing talked about restricting it from what kind of manufacturing could possibly take place there to what kind of business could go up against the subdivision. Critical points, knowing what kind of environment is going to be on the other side of that fence. Other areas of concern. If manufacturing does go in those warehouses, area noise considerations, we are a residential subdivision, and the statutes state that that industrial development would have to abide by residential noise requirements. I don't know if that's possible if you have a manufacturing facility in that warehouse. As far as compromise from the developer, you know, there's very little change from the original plan. In fact, in some cases, it's gotten worse. He originally started out with half the outside storage. It's now doubled on the last proposed site plan that I've seen. One of the issues that we have is there seems to be the feeling that if proper buffering is put in place and the subdivision is protected, that somehow the 2025 plan will be breached or hurt in some way. You know, it's my opinion, it's just the opposite. We've got three developments already in place that have worked out a situation where we have industrial buffering and residential properties that will hopefully limit any damage to the subdivision. The plan is successful. It's very reasonable and can be reached. In this situation, I've been in real estate for over 20 years. I can tell you with the proximity and the size of these buildings that there will be imminent damage to those homes. And as stated earlier, you know, if it happens to one, it happens to all. That's where our comms come from. So I just want you to understand that the way we go from here can be very positive or very negative. The positive has already been proven. The negative is yet to come, and we hope we stay away from that. Nobody wants to go down that road, and I thank you for your time.
Okay. Doug? Then D. Woods?
Let me get this to project out. Replace that.
I don't know if there's a switch or if it automatically goes on. They're there. They've got it for you. Does that work?
Thank you very much.
Mayor, council members, my name is Doug Chapman. I reside at 8715 East Woodland Avenue. I've been here many times over the last several years, and this whole zoning situation has signed us up for a lot of meetings and three-minute sound bites. And I want to go ahead and thank again those of you that met with us and spent some time in our council member in our district for the things and for the solutions that we tried to find. The bottom line is, in this particular subdivision, this is what we're going to have across the street from my front door. Now, I fought just as hard on the previous zoning case on 300 acres to the east, where Mr. Call picked up the buffer and put 400. He bought 400 feet in depth to the east. He put in 200, approximately, give or take, 200 feet of OS. We turn the corner now into Woodland, and now we have this, and we're at 119 because Mr. Anderson was very successfully able to negotiate that distance with us. We wanted 200 feet. Yes, he started at 30, 40, 50 feet also. We wanted 200 feet at the front doors. And for some reason, we were unable to get anything but the harshest of the harsh around the front doors. On the side, we have Mr. Call's project, which is much softer. The buildings don't exceed 10,000 square feet. Those two buildings with the red brick roof look like bunkers to me with fascia fronts. I'm glad that the builder is trying to do something. But we've already heard that there's been very few changes to this plan in any grand substance. He still has all his buildings, all his square footage. He still has pretty much everything he's always had, except for in the initial plan that I looked up last night on an email that was dated June 7th, 2007, from Mr. Anderson, somewhere about there, June, the outside storage was optional. Now we have these massive buildings on top of it. They look like bunkers. We've got the side view looks like a complete office warehouse. And there's no surprise. And by the way, I've searched the code far and wide over the last 3.5 years. I have not found anywhere in the city where they've put this at the front door of R-143. This cannot be done. This cannot be allowed. We've worked with the four previous developers to try to find some way to limit the impact of the subdivision. We don't like what's happening around the subdivision. We're trying to be a part of the 2025 plan. All that we ask is that we have a little bit of room with the OS. And you get to do that with 119 feet. That thing, I got a problem with 1,000 feet all the way to Pecos. You can see and sight those buildings all the way to Pecos. Thank you for your time. We're looking for you to protect our homes and to help us with this so that it doesn't become the next Bailey's Brake Shop disaster for Mesa. We don't want that. We know you don't want that.
D. Woods. Then Greg Woods.
Sorry, I was in a hurry when I wrote that. I am really curious about something. Someone brought up this. Have these homes really been here for 15 years? I mean, time goes so fast. I remember when, aren't they the homes that a certain libertarian, Maricopa County, what is that called? District, anyway, supervisor approved, even though they were going to be put on, they knew the airport was going to come and it was going to be big. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm here to protest to have ugly projects put in Mesa that will cause slums, cause crime. I am really in support of Williams Gateway being successful. I think it'll be a great benefit to the whole city and the community, but I want to see it be attractive. It needs to be attractive both to the homeowners on the one side, since the homes were put in there, and also it needs to be attractive to lure really good businesses in there and not end up becoming a slum. I know a couple weeks ago I talked about how I've learned how when things are ugly, somehow criminals think it's an invitation to come. And it would be great to survey criminals and find out why they think it is, but I don't think anyone's ever done that. Anyway, if they can make this attractive, make it really look good for both the neighbors and for those that are going to the businesses there, I'm going to be in support of the project. But until they do, I hope the developer really makes this nice, because it doesn't just affect one area of Mesa, affects the other. And gosh, if they're going to put that there, what are they going to do in my neighborhood? Anyway, thank you very much for your time.
Greg Woods.
Mayor Hawker and council members, I appreciate this opportunity to speak before you. My name is Greg Woods, and I live at 1426 West Pepper Place in the Pepper Place neighborhood. And I'm very interested in what's happening here in the Queens Park neighborhood, because I'm interested in protecting and supporting neighborhoods all over the city. What's happening to them can happen to us. So I'm very interested in this. I feel that the future of Mesa does need industrial, especially around the airport. I feel also the industrial zoning can work with the residential if done right, if the quality designs are there, and if the buffers are sufficient. This case begs for special sensitivity to the neighborhood. It's a special neighborhood with large lots, large homes, fine homes. I feel a 120-foot buffer is not too much to ask. The neighboring property has a 120-foot buffer. To have inconsistent buffers against this neighborhood just makes no sense. The buffers ought to be consistent all around the neighborhood. Therefore, I would respectfully suggest the council continue this zoning action so that the neighbors and the developers and developer can get together and work things out. Thank you very much.
I have several people who have submitted cards that indicates they did not wish to speak. Let me go ahead and read those into the record. Dan Sundstrom, is opposed, did not wish to speak. Steve Plant is opposed, did not wish to speak. Karen Plant was opposed and did not wish to speak. Bonnie Vagan was opposed, did not wish to speak. Terry Rope was opposed, did not wish to speak. Leanne Merkley, was opposed, did not wish to speak. William Cooper was opposed, did not wish to speak. And Ann Call was opposed and did not wish to speak. You are certainly welcome to change your mind and come on over.
My name is Ann Call. I live at 8660 East Waterford Circle. I wasn't going to speak until Reese got up here, and I just wanted to make a couple comments on what he said. He talked about that you have come up with the general plan and that you want industrial and you don't want any more residential around the airport. As far as my understanding is, GM Proving Grounds is now going to have residential, which was going to be M1 or M2. I could be wrong, but that's my understanding. Reese talked about the dream of the city of Mesa, and you guys have the dream and what you want it to be. But I would like to ask, what about the dreams of the people in Queens Park who are citizens of Mesa? He talked about that they have two front yards. They have two sides. We understand that. We say flip it and put the front doors of the offices next to our homes, put the warehouses at Pecos. They say that won't work. Again, as you've recognized, the block wall still juts out 70 feet, and I'm glad that you have recognized that, and I would hope that you would understand what that's going to look like. He said that they've compromised and the neighbors haven't compromised. We wanted 200 feet, so I believe that we have tried to do some compromising also. Everybody else, the other projects have compromised with us, and we have compromised with them. And as they have said, what about the next project? If we move up, what about the next project and the next project? And that's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
Was there anyone else who came this evening to address the council on this item? Didn't get a chance to submit a blue card? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close the public comment period then. I usually have an opportunity for the applicant, if there was any particular issues they wanted to address in response, to give them that opportunity. Would you like to do that, Reese, or not?
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the council, a lot of comments. Just let me see if I can just address a few of the specific comments. I'm just going to forward here. Mr. McClure referenced language in the zoning code. What we've provided for you here is text right out of the R143 district. You can see in there it doesn't say shall not, doesn't use the word encroach. What it says is maintained without conflict. And it's our proposal to you that this project, anything in excess of 20 feet required by the code, therefore starts to move along the continuum of saying, okay, what appropriate buffers, what appropriate transitions that we put in place so that they can be maintained without conflict. And in this case here, we've zoned the southern 110 feet, which we anticipate that line will go to 140 feet now, again, with our redesign of OS. That has teeth in it, a lot of teeth in it, for several reasons. One, it gives assurances that only OS uses could ever be built there. Another gentleman talked about what kind of uses would we restrict it to. Well, we've sent a letter to the neighborhood. It was Councilmember Summers referenced the June 27th letter from Mr. Philippi to the neighborhood. And in there, we gave them a copy of the deed restrictions. Let me forward over to him. This is the June 27th letter. This is what was attached. These are deed restrictions that we've imposed on ourselves at our Chandler project, very similar to this one. And if you look in there, we've prohibited junkyards, auto dismantling. The list goes on and on. If you peek at it real quickly, we provide. I'm going to turn the page just to make the point. There on 411 and 412, we talk about no trucks overnight, no idling of tractor trailers. We talk about those things in our deed restrictions to prohibit it. Now, let me just say that we kind of perceive as a little bit of a double standard going on here. Let me go back up and explain why. here's what we started with in May of 2004. Queens Park, Ag, you can see where we are just to the north, Samara 143. Along came case Z0401. Again, 200 feet of PEP was what it put in place. Here's Mr. Call's project. Again, great project, but buildings set back from the road 64 feet. Our building set back 110 feet. So let's compare apples to apples. We're twice the distance. Okay? I know that there's concern over that we're larger, but we're also twice further away. Let me go to case Z0606. This is right, what I always say, right on the corner of the property. It's not exactly. Let me tell you where it sits. This case sits 25 feet north of the north right-of-way line of Woodland Avenue. Okay? So my geometry teacher would be proud of me. I got out the A squared plus B squared equals C squared geometry today, and I said, okay, if you look real close down there on the site plan we reproduced in the lower left corner, there's an M1 building right there, just under 10,000 feet, roll-up doors on the west side that face to the west. The neighbors can see right out and look at it. There's an 8-foot CMU wall that comes all the way down to that corner. This project was supported by all the neighbors. Okay? So a little bit of a double standard. When I measured from the corner of that building to the corner of their property, I got 77.5 feet. Now, I recognize it's 25 feet further north than the north right-of-way line of Woodland Avenue. So again, I did my little math. It's 91 feet away. So again, I say, if our building was at 110 and now we're going to redesign and bring it back to 140, what standard am I being held to? There was a comment made about criminals hiding around the corners. I hope that with our redesign of the walls and some nice curves in there, that concern will be resolved. Mr. Call talked about freedom, and while I support the principle of it, I think that we should all recognize that there's a balancing going on here. And I would suggest to you that 50 feet is more than appropriate given the code, and that 80 feet is even more appropriate. Mr. Vaughn and Mr. Chapman talked about noise. Well, Mr. Vaughn talked about noise levels. This is true. Whatever goes in there will have to comply, and if it doesn't, then that's a separate violation. But for now, again, look at our deed restrictions we're willing to impose on there. I don't see that as an issue. Mr. Chapman, of course, wants 200 feet. I'm back to my issue I talked about earlier. What's an appropriate compromise? You kind of know where we're at. I also think that the threats of litigation were very transparent in what they were saying to us. But my clients aren't going to be bullied into giving up their property rights just to satisfy or to kind of placate someone's threat of litigation. Nor would I suggest that that's a good way to make land use decisions. And I'd hope that you would recognize that. Mayor, I think those are kind of the main points I wanted to make. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, why don't you have a seat in case somebody else has a question here later. Staff?
Mayor and Council, just briefly, you've heard quite a bit about the project already, so I'll just hit on a couple of items. Talking about a tract of a little bit over 10 and a half acres on the south side of Pecos Road. General plan designates it for light industrial uses. The request is for a mix of M1 and OS zoning on the property. The primary question has been, how do we handle the transition from this development that is proposed, that's consistent with the general plan, to the residential development that's to the south? We've been looking at a variety of potential buffers and landscaping and wall options throughout the review of this process. What came before you this evening was a request with a 50-foot buffer, a 4-foot berm, and an 8-foot wall on top of that before you get to the buildings. The buildings on the south end have been, initially have one large building, it's been broken into smaller buildings and have an office type appearance on the south side that faces the residential subdivision to the south. That proposal comes to you with a recommendation for approval from staff and from the Planning and Zoning Board. The applicant this evening has talked about moving it an additional 30 feet back, making an 80-foot buffer, and doing a little bit better job, it sounds like, of contouring the walls between this development, the one to the east, so they would flow better together. Staff can certainly support that modification, too, because it will add to that overall buffer in the area. If you have any questions, we'd be glad to try to answer them.
Right, any questions of staff or the applicant this time? Okay. And let's go ahead and do a council discussion. Councilmember Summers.
Actually, I would like to ask Reese a question if I could. First of all, Reese, I'm looking at sketches here. Do you have a picture of what this thing would look like from the perspective of the neighborhood?
I do. This is just a black and white, straight on. Buildings H and I, again, are the two buildings on the south. We've broken those buildings up from earlier proposals. Again, we've been through several iterations trying to work through the issues as best we understood them and responding to them. That's a black and white. Let me, if you should look down at the lower one, the side elevation, you notice that what we've done is dropped the southern 31 feet to a ceiling height of 12 feet. Okay, and then got tile roof sloping up from there, trying to get a residential look. So here's our nice picture, of course. This is from inside the wall. And we did that on purpose so you could get a full picture of it. But
is that the scale? Folks there, standing there?
Yeah, roughly speaking. This, I mean, a 12-foot ceiling height, no taller than some of your custom homes that I'm sure many of these people in this neighborhood have. That tile roof slopes up. The highest point on this building's roughly 27 feet.
Okay.
That this is they're mirrored buildings down there, so this is representative of what both of those look like. Again, over as we've progressed through different versions of site plans, we've lost about 9,000 square feet from where we originally were, and with this redesign, we think we might end up losing close to 15 to 20.
In our discussions, you said that you were willing to, the client was willing to go to the 80 feet, and at one point in those discussions when I was, when we were all meeting together with yourself, your client, and the neighborhood, the client had indicated that there would, that he would be willing to go to 100 feet, so the difference between setbacks is 19 feet. Under what condition, are there any conditions currently where your client would be willing to go to 100 feet?
The you've asked me a tough question again, where we've offered...
You want to confer with your client and I can do some other council comment first?
We've offered, again, we made that offer in our meeting with the neighborhood representatives and yourself as kind of a last-ditch effort to resolve the situation. And what we said was, please, we'll go to 100 feet, remove your legal protest. That's not heavy-handed. That's what we do on a lot of cases that we work on. We said to them, please, let's work on a comprehensive set of deed restrictions. Let's work on elevations. Let's work on all these details. Right. Don't appeal. Don't drag this out any longer. Let's solve this thing right now. So that's what we had offered. And so when we met with you, that offer was put forward again.
I think Claudia fell down. Yeah. You okay, Claudia?
I'm fine, thank you.
We made that offer again, and it was rejected. Okay. And so,
what I'm asking, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm asking, is that offer still available? And if so, under what conditions would that offer be available to go to 100 feet?
Councilmember Summers, my clients tell me that offer is no longer available. I think that we've been more than generous in making that offer. It's been rejected by the neighborhood leaders, so I think it's off the table.
So the legal protest is
I don't see any scenario where we're able to reach any understanding on this case. You have our full commitment that we'll always sit down and talk, that we'll always be open-minded. But I haven't, again, I kind of view it like this. We started at 20 what the code says. We moved it back to 50. Again, you and I are usually talking about building setbacks, not in screen wall setbacks, but here we are, building at 50, wall at 50, building at 110. And again, the developer in this case keeps giving and giving and giving. And I would just ask the rhetorical question, how much is enough? You know, at what point is the appropriate buffer? I think 50 is good. You've heard my client say he's willing to go to 80. He's willing to make that compromise and make it work. And
that's where it sits.
All right, nothing else for the moment.
Okay. Tom?
As I understand it, you're not just willing to go to 80, you're asking us for the opportunity to go to 80.
I am asking you for the opportunity.
And you want 2 weeks? Do you do, if we were to do this, John or Debbie, do we need to come back to continue this to a date certain, or what are we asking for?
I'm asking you to continue it to a date certain. Your second meeting in September. Okay. We'll deliver a revised site plan to staff shortly that they can review.
It's September 17th.
And then I would make a motion that we continue this case to...
Councilmember Rawls, yeah. Mayor, if I might, what we would ask, and I think I'll look over to John for agreement, but we will reintroduce on September 27th, I think is the date which, I'm sorry, September 17th, which would be the second meeting in September, but the date certain for the continued public hearing would be the first week in, or the first meeting in October, which I believe would be October 1st.
Mayor, Council, I think we can do this all on 17th because we're not talking about changing the stipulations in the case, just the site plan that would be approved with the case.
Okay, so we don't need to change the ordinance, reintroduce the ordinance.
No.
Okay.
Okay, then I'll move.
Then the 17th is okay.
Okay, then I will move that we continue this case to December or September 17th. I have a request, it's not necessarily part of my motion, which I suppose I had to push the button. There were three comments made after I asked my question of John after the first speaker. One of the people talked about illegal encroachment. Someone else mentioned circumvention of the law. And the third person mentioned non-enforcement of the law. I would like to have Debbie and John get together and provide me with an analysis of whether any of those three conditions are occurring in the zoning case, so we will have that information on September 17th.
That's fine, Councilmember Rawls. We'll have that available for you.
Thank you. What I'm assuming is the 80-foot setback with all the other stipulations that's going in place of the whole zoning case. Is there any illegal encroachment, circumvention of the law, or non-enforcement of the law inherent in this zoning case as presented?
Okay, have a motion. Anyone want to make a second at this point? All right. Let me ask Vice Mayor Walters. Claudia, do you want to make any comments at this point?
Thank you, Mayor. I can't see the design of the fence, but one of the concerns I had with the 50-foot setback was the things that were addressed by the neighbors, which is that it created corners that potentially could be detrimental to public safety. My understanding, Reese, is that you're looking at a curving line so that you'll eliminate that. And my other understanding is that you're looking at putting in, and this is hard to talk because I'm hearing myself echo back over the phone line, by the way, landscaping that's compatible with what's in the neighboring project. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I would be interested in that same analysis that Tom asked for. But I think that's all my questions. Thank you, Mayor.
Correct. I mean, you can reconfirm, but that's what I heard you say.
Vice Mayor Walters, I'll confirm what the mayor said, yes.
Okay. I was just saving you a few steps. All right, council discussion. We do have a motion and second. Scott.
Thank you, Mayor. This was referenced to some folks had asked about R-143 and how an M1 use could be placed next to R-143, or for that matter, let's just say any residential use. This is what you see on your screens before you and what's up here on the wall. For the rest of you, we'll have to shift it up a little bit. This comes out of Chapter 15 of the Zoning Ordinance. And, oh, wait, not done. Down. Thank you, though. Notice it says, and it's a little blurry, but it says zoning districts, building setbacks from adjacent property lines. These are adjacent property lines. The next box over, where it covers the three boxes up on the top, it says adjacent zoning districts. Notice it says single residence, and I think that's R14 to, What does that say? That's a little blurry.
R160 through
R190. All right, I do need glasses. All right, adjoining districts. Now, can we go down toward the bottom of the page? What we end up having here is industrial M1 and 2. Now, remember that front, that very first section, it talked about R16 to R190, which includes R143. Is that correct? Staff? Yes. They are nodding to the affirmative, to use my lawyer term. That next thing says the building's 75-foot setbacks, service area, 50-foot setbacks. So when we look at the R143, and this is what gives me concern about letting this go forward with the 50-foot, when you read this particular section, it would seem to indicate that M1 is allowed next to R143, given at least these setbacks. At least that's how I read it. And I would be interested to see, I think Tom had asked for it, what the interpretation of this is from our city attorney before we make the final vote. But according to this, the building setback is, if it's 75 foot and the service area is 50 foot, then they meet the requirements of that R143 definition, which is saying that that M1 should not encroach on R143 or for this fact, any other use. So my concern is, I would prefer the 100 feet. I'm actually disappointed that deal is off the table. I am. My concern is that at the end of the day, this is approved. You can go through the legal process, which is absolutely your right, but if the neighborhood loses, then we end up with 50 feet. We end up with those sharp corners, and we end up with many of the problems that concern the neighborhood. My thought is if we can at least get the 80-foot with the curved walls and everything else that's in that letter that was sent to that neighborhood, that's a whole heck of a lot better than what's before us right now. If the neighbors object and they want to take that by referendum or take that through the courts, that's absolutely your right to do that. I'm just trying to think of what would do the absolute least harm if this thing were to pass. But with that, I think we're going to have some legal opinion on a couple of questions come forward. So I will support Tom's motion to continue this for a couple of weeks. But this is the section of the zoning code, or for a few of you who are wondering, that I was referring to. If you want a copy, I'll make sure that you get it. Thank you, Mayor.
All right.
Rex.
As long as we're researching things, I like the history of the property if I can. Because I remember it was bought out of RTC and used a sort of a loophole that you have to give the same zoning in the county as you do, even though it was in a planned industrial area. So I'd like to find out exactly the history of it, how it ended up there and under a commercial airport, that there's no other housing in the area.
Mayor, Councilmember Griswold, I didn't hear the beginning of the question. You mean for the Queens Park neighborhood?
Yeah.
The history of that?
The history of it, how it ended up where it is. And I agree, it's not good to have industrial next to, I have an area in mind called the Commons. It causes conflict, it's not a good area. How did this get built where it shouldn't be technically allowed to be built under an airport and an industrial area? And what was used, what was it, a loophole or whatever it was, to get built in this area? So I'd like to see that if I can. I know it was bought cheap out of RTC, I just remember that part of it. So let's find out what went on.
We'll provide that, Councilmember Griswold.
Yeah, I've been around long enough, I'm probably the resident historian on this one, but there was a site plan, I believe, approved by the county, so but the city of Mesa actually went to an auction and bid for some of the land, knowing that it would not be a compatible use, to try to get it under control, and I think the lot sold for like $27,000 a piece, if I have a recall on what the acre lots were selling for at that time down there, but it was an improved subdivision in that area, and I think they may have even had the roads in at the time or something platted, and that's how it came about, and we had given a lower limit for our city bidder, and it passed that, and so that's how it happened. I do want to comment that I always thought that this would be a real nightmare with the noise complaints, and I know that being close to the end of the runway, there's a lot of approaches, but in fairness to the neighborhood, there have not been very many noise complaints, if any, being generated from there.
The aspect of it that I didn't anticipate was that it would be a hindrance to the industrial development of that area, because that was where the complaints would originate instead of from the airport noise. So I've always been opposed to having that neighborhood that close to the end of the runway, but I've been evidently opposing it for the wrong reasons. I want that to be a job center, and I think this having residential is a tough transition to make into a job center, so it's certainly made that more of a challenge to accomplish that end, but it has not, and I want to thank the neighborhood that has not been the source of very many, if any, noise complaints, and I'll check that with Williams Gateway, but I appreciate you understanding that you do live close to an airport and you're living with that fact. I will obviously, or not obviously, would be supporting the continuance. I think it will improve it some. I am more of the thought that when you buy land in an area, you better know what the master plan is and what the neighbors have a right to build next to them. So I was comfortable with the lower limits on your setbacks than what you're offering. So you're actually offering more than I would have voted for approval, because I think you have a right as the owner of the land, and with the master plan indicating that that's an industrial job center and it's supporting Mesa's goal of doing housing to job balance, that neighborhood is a strange one in Mesa, and I don't want to change all of our other plans to accommodate one that I don't think should have been there in the first place. Now, that being said, you are there, you do own homes, so if we can come to an agreement and the developer that's building this building has to be a neighbor with the people across the street, then if you wish to compromise, there certainly can, and obviously if it's a three-quarter vote, you lose three votes up here, you don't get your project built, so there's also a reality to having a legal protest in place. So you have to consider that, but I will tell you that I would have been comfortable with the lower limits, and I think you're being more generous than the code and the buffering would call for. So,
can I just make one clarification? And with all due respect to Councilmember Summers, the chart that you were looking at there is a good one to look at, but that's the one where we have properties right next to each other. So if you and I were next door neighbors and you were R143 and I was M1, that was the chart that we would look at. There's a separate chart just two pages ahead of this one that says, okay, if you're next to a street, here's what the zoning setback is. And in that case, it is 20 feet, okay, for OS and M1. I'm sure that's the one right there. It's analogous for the sense to say, okay, what is it when I'm next door to somebody and I've got 75 feet from R143 to M1. And in this case here, again, that's the building setback, not necessarily my screen wall setback. And I still exceed it by what you will see in 2 weeks is 140 feet. So just a little bit under twice what the code would require. I apologize to do that, but I just didn't want any mistake by anybody as to what exactly setback we were looking at. And my apologies.
Councilmember Summers?
You still meet these setbacks.
We still meet them.
I appreciate that, and I just hand that to the city attorney. She'll work that into the to I think Tom's question with this and it being the 20 feet. But what I'm looking at, and I'm probably wrong for looking at this one, it still has residential use, and it still has an M1 use and one next to the other. With these setbacks.
Your point was well taken and understood by me. I was afraid that someone in the audience might have mistaken that chart was the rules applied to us when it wasn't. We're actually looking at a separate chart. But the distances are analogous and applicable here.
Still don't like it, but I understand.
Councilmember Griswold.
This neighborhood earned my admiration when I was first elected, when they had a similar situation right next to him, and someone challenged on the council to go ahead and buy the property that was offending them, and they did. And they came up with something very good for the neighborhood. So they've earned a lot of credibility with me, how hard they fought, and they also put their money where their hearts were. So hopefully we can work out something in here. You mentioned buying the property. You can't buy every piece of property around you, but if that works, you know, you're the probably the people that could do it. So I hope this comes out and, you know, you fight well for your neighborhood and you represent your neighborhood well. So we'll look to see what comes back in 2 weeks.
Okay. Any other comments? All right. I have a motion by Councilmember Rawls, seconded by Councilmember Whalen for continuance to the September 17th council meeting. Would you please vote? Vice Mayor Walters, how do you vote?
Aye.
Okay, the vote is unanimous in favor of the continuance. We'll see you in September 17th. The next item is the last item on the agenda. That's on page 8. That is items from citizens present. Are there any requests to speak this evening?
I have 3 requests, Mayor.
All right.
The first is from Marvin Tate.
All right, this is an opportunity for anyone to address the council for up to 3 minutes. We can't respond back typically unless they're citing an individual council member for some issue, but we can refer it to staff or listen to your comments. Is Mr. Tate here?
Call my name?
Yeah.
Let me give you one of
them. Why don't you hand them right there and we'll pass them around.
Just hand them.
My name is Marvin Tate. I live at 11944 East Burl Avenue in Scottsdale. I bought a piece of property at 1010 East Main, and I was trying to improve it. And then I met with a planner the other day from the sign division, and I came across something that he'd never seen before, too, and that is the site triangle. I've been in the sign business 6 times in my lifetime. And I opened a new place on 905 North Country Club. It's a sign business. But I'm not here really to address trying to get a sign at the location that I bought at 1010 East Main. I'm really here about the procedure of the sign ordinance. I guess they're in the process of changing it now. But whenever I would go get permits from other cities, all 20 cities around here except Mesa, they would never allow what they call a solid skirting at the bottom, and especially in the site triangle. Now, the site triangle, you go 33 feet back from the corner one way, 33 feet back from the corner the other way, and draw a diagonal. That's called the site triangle, then the intersection. So I applied for this sign at my new location, I mean, a place that I bought, and they said, well, you got to put a solid skirting at the bottom. And I said, what? And they said, yeah, that's the interpretation of the sign ordinance. You have a solid skirting at the bottom. Well, if you look on page 2, you'll see the old signage at 1010 East Main, and it's a single pole. Well, you can see what I've tried to do at the bottom. I've tried to not put a solid skirting, so somebody at that intersection, when they go around the corner, at least I've decorated the pole, but I haven't obscured. So I drove around the city in the last two days, and I have seen at least 12 signs, maybe 10 signs, that have been put up in the last month with solid skirting. The latest one right over here, at 2nd Street, and it's a little Mexican convenience store on the corner of Country Club and 2nd. And the solid skirting is right out at the intersection. So I stepped by there the other day, and lo and behold, somebody's backing up, trying to see around that skirting, going front, pulling front, pulling back. They couldn't even see the cars coming down Country Club. So I know that they're in the process of rewriting the sign ordinance, and I think that they ought to take a hard look at this site triangle. Because if you put up 10 signs in the last 2 months and people can't see around those, then it puts the city into a bad situation where you could get sued. And that's the reason that all these other cities, except Mesa, will not allow you to put solid skirting in the site triangle. I know that right now I could apply for the sign, I could get it approved, and it would be better and easier on me, but I don't think it's right for the city.
Okay, I appreciate your comments, sir. We'll take a look at it.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Aaron Henderson.
Is Mr. Henderson here? I don't think he's present.
Okay. Our third speaker is Frank Alger.
Mayor, City Council, thank you for your time. My name is Frank Alger. My address is 1009 North April.
here in Mesa. I'm here representing the Mesa Veterans Day Parade Association, and I do want to thank the mayor and the city council, but the mayor especially, for signing the proclamation making the month of September the Mesa Veterans Parade Association month. I do understand that the city cannot monetarily support the Veterans Day Parade, and we appreciate the support that you've shown, Mayor, for us, even though we don't get any money. We appreciate the support. I do want to, the council has been very good. We've got Councilman Rex Griswold and Scott Summers have donated their time and come to our meetings and helped us to coordinate. We've had one of the council members donate, but he wishes to remain anonymous. But we really appreciate the support that the city has, in spite of everything else, has shown to us. We appreciate the proclamation. We really think that's good, and we appreciate that. We do have a golf tournament going on to help raise money for the city. For the Veterans Day Parade on the 22nd of September, and you can go to our website, which is www.mesaveterans.org, to find out more information on that. We also have a poker tournament coming up on October 6th. For those of you that are listening and watching, I've received a lot of phone calls about the applications for entries into the parade. Those have been mailed out to everybody that participated last year. They will be up on the website this week or early next week. We are working on that right now. The parade will be on November 12th. Mayor, we appreciate your proclamation and the support that you've shown, and the City Council for your efforts. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's the last speaker. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you, Vice Mayor, for joining us.
Thank you.
Good night.